You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well-respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining J's. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making us part of your daily routine. Whether you are a long-time listener, we appreciate the fact that you have been with us for that long time. Or a new listener, welcome aboard. We hope you enjoy the show. We're the Raining J's, John Corrales, Jay King. You know Jay King from The Athletic. You might know me from Boston.com and RedsArmy.com. And today we're going to talk about the video that was posted on The Athletic, Gordon Hayward's video on his recovery. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Phoenix, the firing of Ryan McDonough, their GM, former Celtics assistant GM. Let's start with a quick recap, Jay, a reaction to what we talked about yesterday. We were talking about Marcus Smart and that whole altercation with J.R. Smith. I thought he was going to get suspended. I think you seem to be like sort of expecting that or wouldn't be surprised, but only a $25,000 fine. So were you surprised by the punishment?
Give Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier a bonus. Totally. You got to give them a bonus.
He's got to pay them an extra $25,000.
They saved him from a suspension because if he had thrown a punch, you never know how many games he's going to get. He looked like he had every intention of throwing a punch at J.R. Smith, but Jason Tatum hopped in, Terry Rozier hopped in. Together, they wrestled him to the ground, held him there when he was very much trying to escape. We've talked about this before. So many fights in the NBA are like, hold me back, and nobody actually wants to brawl. Marcus Smart was out there looking for blood. And Tatum and Rozier, they stepped in there. They earned their paycheck. You know, preseason doesn't matter unless you're trying to hold back your teammate from
not just your teammate.
An suspension-worthy brawl.
It's not just a teammate. It's an enraged Marcus Smart. Like that's. It's not like you're trying to hold me back or you back. It's trying to hold pissed off.
First
Marcus
of all,
Smart.
I'm fucking tough as hell to hold back.
I mean, okay. Look, you. You've gotten yourself back into good shape. You said you were going to do it. I saw you. You're looking good. You're back into fighting shape. That's great. But you know, you're not Marcus Smart. I mean, like
that's a fair assessment.
You know, that's fine. It's like trying to, you know, corral a runaway, you know, tractor trailer. Like it's hard to corral Marcus Smart, and they did a good job. That's all I'm saying.
It took two professional athletes to hold back Marcus Smart.
Yes. Yes. So I thought that just based on the history that the punishments would be worse. I thought Smith would get a bigger fine. I thought Smart would get a suspension. I mean, he was very obviously lining up to punch somebody.
But they can't judge your intention. They can't.
I guess not. No, it's true. It's true.
And so he was held back and nothing happened beyond his initial push. And that's how the NBA has to judge it, I guess. So he really is lucky that Tatum and Rozier held him back because that was going to be a suspension. Totally. It was 100% going to be a suspension. Instead, he loses some money, but whatever. He's going to be able to play on opening night.
He is. Now, my question now is, the next time the Celtics face the Cavaliers, how quick will there be a double tech with J.R. Smith and Marcus Smart on the floor? Like, as soon as Marcus Smart checks in with J.R. Smith on the floor, the refs will just give them both a double tech just because. Because this is the second time that Marcus Smart has been prevented from throwing a punch at J.R. Smith. Tristan Thompson, after he pushed Al Horford in the back in the playoffs last year, Tristan Thompson kind of got in the way and really helped stop Marcus Smart from throwing a punch. In this altercation, we were just talking about Rozier and Tatum stopping Marcus Smart. It was obvious he wanted to throw a punch. I can't imagine that the referees, knowing all of this history, will let any, even sniffle, a side eye, anything that's going to be a technical foul. Like, somebody's going to get ejected for nothing in that next game just so they don't have an all-out brawl. I guarantee you the next time these two teams play, those two guys are going to be, like, on the shortest of short leashes.
I'm all in for JR with no LeBron next to him. I think
J.R. Smith.
Yeah, it could be interesting out there in Cleveland this year. It feels like, he's being he doesn't have LeBron next to him to kind of be like, JR, we need you. He doesn't have the promise of championship contention to rein him in. He's just out there doing JR things, and I think he's gonna have an entertaining season this year. I think JR is going to put together a lot of headlines for us this year. That's just my prediction.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I totally see that. So that will be something to watch when we face the Cleveland Cavaliers. Since we're talking about other teams, let's tell you that other podcasts exist for other NBA teams. Like, we're obviously Locked On Celtics. If you're new to this whole Locked On thing, there is a Locked On for every NBA team. So when the when something like this happens and you want to hear how the other team is taking it, well, go to Locked On Cavaliers. Those guys do a great job. If you want to get a preview of what the Celtics and the Sixers are kind of going to be up against when a week from now they kick off the season, go to Locked On Sixers. There's a Locked On for every team. We keep telling you about Locked On NBA, but I think one of the best ways you can do intel on other teams is to go to the other team's podcast. So whenever the Celtics face another team, go to that team's podcast. It exists. Subscribe. You can subscribe to all of them, and they're all pretty entertaining shows. So there is a Locked On for every NBA team, and go check them out as we move forward so you can know what the Celtics are up against and what that side is looking at. I think the Suns are going to be super interesting now because they fired their GM, Ryan McDonough. And it's interesting to me because in all of the reporting, they're talking about how the last straw basically was his inability to get a starting caliber point guard in a trade. And it was reported that teams have been holding out for an unprotected first. Like, they're playing the game. They're playing the negotiating game. We know that Phoenix wants a point guard. Well, we're not going to part with our point guard for anything less than an unprotected first round pick, which is pretty stupid. That would be pretty stupid for McDonough to make that trade. But anyway, point is, that's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. So, Jay, what I'm wondering is, the Suns now have no GM. They have what has been characterized as one of the most involved owners in the game, which to me is the most meddling owner in the game. I think Rob Sarver is one of the worst owners in the game. And they are looking for a point guard. And if that reporting is correct, you have to believe that Danny Ainge, with an extra point guard, really, and a propensity for fleecing other teams, you have to believe that Danny Ainge is going to get involved in this somehow.
Do you? Okay, here's the thing. I'm not convinced that McDonough's inability to strike a point guard deal was the reason behind his firing. I know that was reported.
Not the reason, but the final straw.
But they got rid of two or three other guys at least in their front office, including scouts, including other things. Those guys weren't all sent because, they couldn't get a point guard. Another thing if Ainge was going to strike a deal with the Suns to give the Suns a point guard, presumably Terry Rozier, because he's in the last year of his contract, and that would make sense if you're going to trade someone, especially now that Kyrie Irving has declared he intends to sign with the Red Sox. I've been watching baseball with the Celtics to stay with them for the foreseeable future. He could have done it, and he would have done it, I assume, while Ryan McDonough was still there. So I don't think this is a thing where Danny Ainge, some new GM comes in and it changes Ainge's outlook at things. I think McDonough was interested in getting a point guard. I think the Suns have been interested in a while in getting a point guard. And if Ainge had been interested in what the Suns were offering at the time, now maybe the offer changes because of the new GM. Maybe the equation changes because of Irving's, declaration that he intends to sign with not the Red Sox, but the Celtics.
If he signed with the Red Sox, that'd be awesome.
I bet he'd be a pretty good baseball player. He's probably got great hand-eye coordination. I've heard he's a good fielder.
Yeah.
So he could be pinch runner.
Yeah, sure. See, he'd be something. I feel like with his handles and everything, he'd probably be like a middle infielder or something like that, second baseman.
Yeah, I bet he'd be a legit second baseman. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe all field, no bat, but who knows?
Anyway,
I'm still not sold the Celtics will trade anybody on their roster. But obviously Rozier now and even before, he's one of those guys that if you're looking at, first of all, the roster as it's constructed, they have a lot of guards and they have a lot of proven guards. And second of all, they're going to be paying a lot of money to this team. And so they're going to have to make some financial decisions down the road. I think that's why people even talked in the first place about whether Terry Rozier would get traded over the summer. He didn't. He's still in Boston. I expect him to stay in Boston. But yeah, the Suns are certainly, they're an interesting team to watch. Now, how dumb are they? How dumb are the freaking Suns? They want to fire their GM. But first they let him use the number one overall pick. And right. First they let him hire a new coach.
Right.
And first they let him go to free agency and sign Trevor Ariza, who sort of changes the direction of the franchise. Although I think it was a good signing. But it's just like, why don't you freaking fire the guy before the offseason?
Exactly.
Such a pivotal offseason.
Timing was just terrible.
You guys are so dumb.
If you're thinking about firing the guy, fire him and let the new guy come in and make all of these important decisions. It might have been the same decisions, but whomever the new GM is stuck now with those decisions. And it's,
yeah,
the timing
and
is terrible.
The new GM, he could have been a Luka Doncic guy. He could have been somebody who would have hired a different coach.
Right.
Now he and the coach may have differences in view. It's just so dumb. The Suns have been a poorly run team for a long time. And I know Ryan McDonough made some bad decisions in his time with the team. Most of all, the most important one helped the Celtics quite a bit.
Totally.
Because it handed them Isaiah Thomas, who then sort of became Kyrie Irving. And so the Celtics should thank Ryan McDonough quite a bit, who he worked for them for 10 years before going to Phoenix. But just the way they handled his departure is weird. And like they say about Sarver, he's super meddling. He's involved in all these decisions. There's, some talk about how much Ryan McDonough even made those decisions, or made some of those decisions at least, because of how involved Sarver is. So Phoenix is just a mess. And I like a lot of the players on their roster, but they're still years away, and now they got to figure out a new GM, and God knows whether that GM will like his coach and his number one draft pick and everybody else.
It's so weird.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's the timing is the stupidest part. Like, if you just go on face value, you can say it's been, 5 years for McDonough, the Suns are still bad, and you can say this is about the time in a tenure, just years wise, that if you haven't turned the team around, then this is, you lose your job. That's sports. But to do it 9 days before opening day, when he made pivotal franchise-changing decisions already that could have been made by a new guy. If you're going to change the direction of the franchise, do it before the draft. Don't do it now. And that's the interesting part about this whole thing. And that's why I put a little more stock in that whole he couldn't get us that point guard thing. Like, I don't think that that's the only thing. And yes, they fired a bunch of people. But I just feel like, first of all, Rob Sarver is just the worst. He and Dan Gilbert are just the two. They were the two architects of the lockout. And they are just horrible. I put them together as two of just the worst piece of crap owners out there, along with James Dolan. There are a couple of others. Glenn Taylor has not been great, but it just lets you appreciate, by the way, how great the Celtics ownership has been, because they just let people do their jobs and they basically stay out of the way. They're involved, but not meddlesome. So it's nice to, you know, in a situation like this, get that appreciation of what the Celtics offer. But back to the basketball part, I do put some stock in that reporting that they're probably pissed off that he wasn't able to pull off what the Sarver wanted and that get that point guard. I don't think that Terry Rozier is going to get traded. I don't expect it. I think it's hard to trade a player in general, and I just think it's hard for the Celtics to part with him at this point. What are they going to get? But at the same time, I just feel like Danny Ainge is the shark, and there's blood in the water. And Sarver is an impulsive guy who makes bad decisions. He is now basically in charge of the personnel decisions in Phoenix. If an unprotected first round pick from the Phoenix Suns is on the table, you kind of have to go for that, because the alternative is letting Terry Rozier walk and not getting anything for him, which I've said in the past has some value. But now that Kyrie is committed, I feel like things have changed a little bit. So
I don't think Phoenix, which is going to be bad this year, is going to put an unprotected pick on the table.
I think it's stupid to do that, and they shouldn't do that, but I'm just going based on the reporting. I'm basing it on Woj tweeting it out and saying that McDonough has been holding out because teams have wanted an unprotected first-round pick. And if that's the thing that got him fired, and I'm just, it's just a lot of ifs. I don't know. You just got to go based on what's out there. If that's the thing, if that's the last straw, then maybe it's that Sarver was like, yeah, give the pick up. We're fine. We've got plenty of young players. Give up the pick. We need a point guard. If we get that point guard, we're going to be better. And that pick's not going to be very good anyway. Like, maybe that's what he's thinking. I think it's stupid. You think it's stupid. Most smart basketball people would think that's stupid, but he's clearly not in that same vein. So I don't know. If it's there, you've got Kyrie committed. You've got Marcus Smart lined up. You've got a team that looks great. I mean, they're not playing great, but they're supposed to be great, and they should be great. I expect them to be great. You trade essentially your third string point guard, who is probably going to go in the offseason anyway.
He's not. Let's not call Terry Rozier a third string point guard.
But on this team, he is.
He's a sixth man of the year candidate.
Look, it is what it is, Jay. I'm not saying he's he's not a third string guy like an NBA third string guy, but he's your third string guy. Like, your backup point guard is Marcus Smart, right?
I mean, whatever. They both play in the backcourt. They're both going to handle the ball. I don't care who's a point guard. He's a sixth man of the year candidate. He's not a third string point guard, but whatever. I get what you're trying to say. I just had to disagree with that
the phrasing. Fine.
Yeah.
Call it what you want. You're set. You're fine. Like, Terry Rozier is a very good player. losing him sucks in a way, but at the same time, you have a lot of depth, and he's not going to be around long term if you keep Smart and Kyrie. So if you can get a high quality asset for him in this situation, I can see him. I can see him going for it. I can see Danny Ainge poking around, at least somehow being involved in all of this. That doesn't necessarily mean the trade's actually going to happen, but I think it's something to watch for. I'll leave it at that.
I think you're probably reading too far into this one, but the Suns have been sitting out there as one of the logical trade partners if the Celtics do move on from Terry Rozier. That hasn't changed their stance on what they would need to make that trade could change now. So they're definitely a team to watch now, definitely with a new GM coming aboard 1 week before this season, because their franchise is so damn dumb.
All right, we'll leave it at that. I don't think Danny Ainge can resist a deal, and there's going to be a great deal there to be had. So we'll see how deep the Celtics get involved, if they get involved at all.
But by the way, I'm feeling old now that James Jones and freaking Elton Brand are running teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Wait, welcome to my world. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, you're a lot older than I am. So.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Thanks for constantly reminding me of that. That's all right. I'm embracing it. I'm embracing my oldness. I'm fine with it. I got it. I'm growing out my salt and pepper beard. I'm good. I'm in a good place.
There you go.
The more you can tell that somebody's not in a good place, the more that they say, I'm good. I'm in a good place.
I think you're in a good place, man.
We'll see about that. All right. Before we move on, we talked about the Locked On Team podcast for the NBA. Remember that there's an NFL Locked On Team podcast as well. For example, Locked On Patriots with Mark Schofield. He's out there breaking things down. You know, Mark Schofield is a former quarterback. He knows the game. He breaks things down to very, very intricate level. So if you've ever listened to the Locked On Patriots podcast, you know that he knows his stuff. So subscribe to that. If you're an NFL fan of any team, there is a podcast for your team. So we're out here doing all this work here like we are on Locked On Celtics. Those guys are doing it for your favorite Locked On NFL podcast. So go find that, subscribe to that wherever you find your podcasts. Last topic here. Gordon Hayward out with a new video. He's out with this new video series detailing his recovery. It's on.
And the video is on The Athletic. Yeah. Subscribe to The Athletic, everyone.
I was going to make a joke about The Athletic, but you hopped in. You're like a good company guy. Yes, it's on The Athletic. It's on The Athletic.
I'd never, ever, ever try to scratch my own company's back.
You do not. You do not.
I'm not here to do that, but I just want to say, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic by now, you're so dumb. There is so much good writing everywhere. We cover, I believe, all 30 NBA teams now. It is the best $5 or $6 a month you could ever possibly spend. And now we have Gordon Hayward videos. So hop aboard, grab a subscription, come read my ass, please.
Okay. That's a perfectly J. King promotion for The Athletic.
Come read my ass, please.
Come read my ass, please. That's J. King. Like, if you just leave that quote out there, people will be like, oh, yeah, J. King said that. So Gordon Hayward put this thing out. I just want to say that I didn't need to see that injury again. And I know it happened to Gordon Hayward, but God – and more than seeing it, hearing it, because you can hear it happen. And that's the grossest thing to me about the whole thing. Like, I started the video and it started that play. And before I could mute my computer, I heard it happen. And that's the worst part of it, because before you know what happened, you know something happened. And it's just gross. So I'm angry at Gordon Hayward for putting that back into my brain. But it does give us a behind-the-scenes look at how hard he had to work and some of the things they had to go through to get back even to this, as rusty as he's been. And we'll say that Gordon Hayward's the type of guy that he's documenting everything. He's putting it all out there on video. We've seen workout videos like crazy. And apparently all those workout videos have been part of this kind of documentary of his progress. And it's kind of wild to see how much is involved in this. And you don't even get to see all of it, because if you saw all of it, it would take hours and hours and hours and hours. But it's an interesting look behind the scenes at recovering from a gruesome injury.
That poor guy has had to talk about his injury so many times. He has had to rehash the worst moment of his professional career over and over and over again, and how much he was devastated by it and how low he got at times during his recovery. Like, he has talked about all of that so many times. I'm sure he can't wait until it's no longer a storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also a very willing participant in these videos.
Yes, he is.
You know, I mean, he's putting all of this stuff out there himself. Like, this isn't like someone said, hey, we should follow you around. He's like, no. Like, he's very willingly doing
this. Unless I'm mistaken, and I could be, I don't totally know this. This is just sort of speculation. I think the Players Tribune bought like a documentary type thing from him before, and then the videos came out later, and it just happened like he hurt himself, and that's why that was the focus of the documentary. Uh-huh. I could be wrong there, but I'm not 100% positive he signed up for like a documentary of the injury, or whether he signed up for a documentary of like a great first season with the Celtics in a super exciting place.
Right.
So he might not have gotten what he signed up for.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know what the genesis of all that was.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure either.
Look, it sucks having to talk about. Yeah, it sucks having to talk about an injury like that. Anyway, regardless of whether you said, "All right, let's do the documentary," it doesn't matter. Like, you're still talking about something very negative and reliving these moments over and over again. That sucks, but it does show some of the steps that he's had to take. And you get to see like that slow progression of it all. What really stood out to me immediately, him on the crutches and just the size of the cast on his leg.
It was a big old cast.
That thing, I mean, I don't know what they had to do at the beginning to kind of keep his ankle together. They must have had stuff on the outside of his leg, because that cast was gigantic. I mean, that was just that very much stood out to me. And
also his little daughter walking behind him, pretending to walk.
Oh my God. So cute.
So cute.
Like, just like heartbreakingly cute. She's like struggling too. She's like doing the grunt. She's like, doing the whole thing, like hopping around. So
That was the best.
That's why daddy's always happy.
That's why kids are the best, because you can't turn them down. Like, and even like things like that, they love.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, daddy's hurt. I want to be hurt just like daddy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really want to be hurt just like daddy, but kids do. Kids are the greatest.
It was pretty funny. So it's an interesting look. I think the mental toll, and obviously that's something that's a big thing for me anyway, so I'm always focused on that. The fact that the mental toll was what it was, and it keeps popping up. It's hard for him. They sent him to San Diego to clear his head. The team sent him away so he wouldn't be watching basketball and like stewing about this whole thing. And then that whole thing that we've talked about here before, that feeling like, oh, they're winning without me. Do they even really need me? That self-doubt that creeps in. There's a lot of that element there that because it is the Players Tribune and they're not going to really dive into that stuff, but that's the stuff that I find amazingly interesting, and you know that's tough.
I thought it was also sort of hilarious. Like, did they have a professional videographer with them, like filming Gordon Hayward while he's sitting on the beach in San Diego?
That's true.
Or was that just like a buddy filming the family and Hayward? That was kind of hilarious to me. Like,
what? If you're shooting a documentary, you gotta have somebody there all the time.
San Diego, getting this super dramatic freaking footage of Gordon Hayward sitting on the beach.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of that.
Standing there as the tide washes around his ankles. Notice that he was ankle deep in the sand and the waters around his ankles as the sun sets behind him and, you know, sets this silhouette. Of course, it's all dramatic. Of course, when you look, if you're going to do a documentary, you do the documentary right.
Yeah, they did it right. That was a great video by The Athletic. Shout out to The Athletic.
I don't know how many parts there are to this, but I'm sure there are probably at least a couple more coming, because that still.
Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
Yeah, I don't know how many they're going to be, but this video only took us up to like his first little tiny jump shot where he left, you know, jumped off the floor by like a half inch. So there's still a lot more to all of this that is left to be seen. So we'll see that. If you subscribe to The Athletic, you'll know, and we'll see what the next one brings. All right, that's it. That's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're not a subscriber, if this is your first time listening, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We're everywhere. Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, we're everywhere. If you are a subscriber, please, please, please give us that 5-star review. Give us that good rating and share the podcast with your friends. Spread the word. Tell everybody. Listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.